As we come to the faith in Christ, we are very much called to walk in His holiness and sanctification. So this is a glorious path God has set for us to walk in His ways, the ways that could please Him all the time, so that our life becomes the fragrance unto God Himself. We would have heard about the perseverance of saints. I would say the saints are persevere to pursue Christ in faith by the Lord Himself. I'd like to focus upon three things here. The first one is aim. As we look into this passage, we could very clearly see that what should be our aim as we run the race. In Hebrews chapter 12, as we read in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. So the focus in our race is Jesus Christ Himself and Him alone. We have to fix our eyes upon Jesus as we run the race. For He is the author and finisher of our faith. By faith, or by grace through faith, we are saved. So why we have to look unto Jesus? Why we have to fix upon Jesus? Why we have to fix our eyes upon Jesus? Because the word Himself, this particular verse itself, it says very clearly, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and we read it in verse 3, for consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself. Why we ought to look unto Jesus? Why we got to fix our eyes upon Jesus? Because He endured the cross. And He despised the shame. And He also endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. He suffered for us. He bore our sins upon Himself on the cross, and He died for us. When we come to the book of Revelation chapter 5, we read here, there, like that, who is worthy to open the scroll and the seals? And there was none. So John was crying, but he was consoled by the word of an angel saying, here is the worthy, one who is worthy, who has been crucified from the foundation of the world. That is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy. He alone is worthy to be looked upon, to fix our eyes upon, so that our race will be meaningful. So every one of us are running the race of faith in Christ, and we ought to run the race patiently. So the first part of our message is aim. Aim is to look upon Him. As we look upon Him and run the race, we have to run the race patiently. You see here in verse 1, at the last part, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. With endurance. With patience. Patience. But not in a lethargical way. Right? We are running in the race. But be patient in as we run the race. That's what. With endurance. That is set before us. If you take any competition of athletics, or if you take Olympics, it is not just anyone can participate in any running race. So they have to be qualified. They have to pass the test and they have to qualify themselves to enter into the race. Then only they can participate in the race and work on the race and win the race. But here, the Lord has called us to run the race, and this particular race is set before us. You see here, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are qualified to run in the race. It is not earned by us. We have not qualified ourselves to run in the race, but it is He who, by His grace, called us to run in the race. Something like you can imagine kind of an arena. Arena, I pronounce differently. Arena. Have you understood clearly? Yes, arena. And in the arena, you have galleries around. People sit there. And that is the ground where these athletics will run a race. But you see, we were roaming around, out of the arena. We were not in the inside the arena. We were not in the ground to run the race. But God qualified us. You know, He made us to come into the ground and to run the race. It's all by His grace. It is because of His redemption, and it is given to us. It is given to us. As we run the race, the Bible verse here, it says in verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded. Just imagine, around the gallery, people are sitting and encouraging us, cheering us up as we run the race. This particular audience are not only watchers, but they were the ones who ran before us. That's what there is a great list we could read. Just I would like to read 2-3 verses, something like that, right from chapter 11, from yes, and 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fall me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained the promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned into flight the armies of the aliens, so on. They all wonderfully worked with our faith and ran before us, and they were the ones. It's what Bible says. We are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses, and they are cheering us up. They are encouraging us with their witnesses. So that's what we got to go through, the likes of everyone who ran before us, including the missionaries, biographies of missionaries. Yeah. So we run the race patiently, but not lethargically. We are encouraged by a big cloud of witnesses, and we are running towards Him. We are running towards Him who gives us the victory. While running towards Him, we are not going to be worried, we are not going to be fainted, we are not going to be discouraged. Because in our minds, we keep thinking of Him. We keep thinking of Him. And we are running towards Him, not to anything else. And this particular Bible verse says, we see in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So faith in Christ is the key for my victory. It could be anything that comes against us. the faith in Christ is the victory, is the key for my victory, even over Goliath. Or faith is key for my patience, to be so patiently wait, even when Sauls are around us. For my faith is the key for my hope at times of troubles and suffering. So we have very clearly, as we run the race, that is, focusing on, looking upon Jesus Christ. We keep fixing upon our eyes upon Jesus. See, any athletic definitely would run aiming at the end line. Without aiming at the end line, somebody, he or she, looks around, definitely he would not finish the race. So my eyes should be set upon the end line, that is, Christ himself. And he alone is worthy to be focused on. And he finished the race. He ran the race victoriously and successfully, so that we could definitely, we have a hope that we will finish the race. And secondly, as we do have aim, we ought to have right attitude. When you come to the passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 onwards, we know all this, which is very familiar to us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 onwards. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ we ought to have. Our thoughts to be transformed into Christ-mindedness. As I focus Christ, running the race towards Him, I put on the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ? What is the mind of Christ? We continually, as we read here, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Hence, the mind of Christ talks about the perfect humility, the pure humility, even unto death. There is no limit for humility. If we would set a limit for having humility within us, definitely we are not resembling on Christ. So there is no limit for humility. If somebody sets a limit for humility, I think time is going up. Is that fine? Quickly, I try to finish. So if anyone sets level for humility, that means he or she must be fearing about it, their own security, you see. Fear of security. And they don't feel secure as they are humble enough. But the Lord has not done so. So no limit for humility. He became a slave among slaves. He became weak among weak. He was punished among the punished. Even by sinners, he died like a sinner. I would like to definitely quote Paul's own experience in his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 onwards. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Treasure means here the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Continually, I would like to quote his own experience. Again, Paul, He is a wonderful example, wonderful apostle to be an example to us. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 onwards. Yeah. "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, lost as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now." We have been made as the filth of the world. So that is what the pure humility is all about. The mindset. And also we should have the mindset of Christ, that is, looking forward, not backward or sideward. Looking forward always. We see here in verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy," this is what to be highlighted, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame," and so on. How he endured the cross, who for the joy that was set before him. He could see the joy before him very clearly. Our vision has to be very clear. As we look upon Jesus, following him, and we should understand what kind of victory that is set for us. I don't have time to go through all those. In Isaiah 53 we read, he was satisfied perfectly because he saw his offspring. That's how he could endure all the sufferings as suffering servant. So the mind of Christ is perfect humility. Also, he was looking unto the joy that was set before him. So he endured the cross. Likewise, we also have to keep looking up unto him, and it is going to be definitely a victory life for every Christian. And to say here in verse 1, at the end of 1, you know, "Let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us." You should understand you understand very well. We should understand the race that is set before us. God has not set the race for us which is going to be a failure one, right? He will never set a race for us which is going to be a failure one. But he has set a race for us which is going to be a victorious one. And we have every encouragement. We can have every strength in our Lord in the race as we run. That is going to be a victorious and glorious one. We will be transformed into Christ-likeness one day. Hence, our mindset should be looking forward, looking forward. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul, as he sets his mind to keep moving forward. Yes, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press on, I press on, I press on. I don't see what is I missed, what I missed at the back. So I keep reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That is what running a race is all about. Keep running. Running the life of our faith in Christ. So I press on. And thirdly, first we have worked out of our aims, that is looking unto Jesus and Him alone, He's alone is worthy. And secondly, we ought to run with humility, perfect humility, just as Christ did on the cross. Also His apostles did and set an example for us. And also, we ought to keep moving forward. And thirdly, action we're supposed to take as we run the race. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 onwards, we read that very clearly how our action should be in our life. If then you were raised with Christ, seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So, there is a big list Paul is giving to Colossians. What are the things to be removed from our life? What are the things to put on as a new man on us? So, from when you read verses 5 onwards, quickly I go through. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, and now you yourselves are to put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. I always tell this when I read this. You know, every sect, even when we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 onwards, let us lay aside every sin that ensnares us quickly. You see? So as the nature of the sin is, it gives a big burden to us not to walk even. Then how to run? So the old man should be removed off from us. That's what here it says. So when Christian climbs up on the mountain of Calvary, this old burden of sin gets rolled away and he gets free. Completely, he became free and he felt very light and he felt the freedom there. So that's how the sins that give us more burden and, you know, that ought to be removed off from us. What else we can do? The things that are to be put on is very important. From 10 onwards. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Hence, things that are to be put on are very clear in the Bible, in the Word of God. Hence, we have very clear aim. We have very good attitude set upon before us in Christ and in the life of the apostles and in every man of faith. Hence, as we keep going, keep running towards Him, in verse 12, I mean Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3, we read there, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself." For consider him. We share the Lord's table, and every time we come there, we consider him. We think upon him. Upon the cross, he gave everything for us. Nothing left with him. So, consider him. In Greek it is, it could say, estimate him, contemplate upon him. So, focus upon one day Jesus Christ, and let's be encouraged. For so many have gone before, so they also cheer us up. To every Christian, the race is going to be a victorious and glorious one. May the Lord bless each and every one of us too. As we run the race, the Lord is with us. He strengthens us. He enables us to complete the race. Thank you so much.